This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Even when he's in a small role, I find it impossible to take my eyes off Alan Cumming when he's on the screen. He's not handsome in the typical pumped-up movie star kind of way, but he has a very expressive face that can be goofy or menacing, attractive or geeky. In the film Eyes Wide Shut, he stole the scene as a hotel clerk flirting with Tom Cruise. In the Bond film Goldeneye, he was an evil computer nerd. His other films include Urbania, Get Carter, Viva Rock Vegas, Circle of Friends, and Emma. Cumming wrote and directed the new film The Anniversary Party with his co-star Jennifer Jason Leigh. Cumming plays a British writer who's moved to Hollywood, where his novel, inspired by his troubled marriage, is being made into a film. He and his wife Sally, played by Leigh, are throwing a party to celebrate their 6th anniversary. Here's a scene from the party in which Cumming is talking to a neighbor he's invited in the hopes of smoothing over a feud about his and Sally's barking dog.
See, you've moved up from the soft stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ryan's been sober for 8 years, so it's difficult if I, it's better if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous, so yeah, a little out of my element, yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, yes. Yes, in fact, I am. A little on the outside, yeah. And there's been all of this friction.
Mm.
These misunderstandings have a way of escalating.
Very well put.
You know, I think a lot of this could have been avoided if Sally had made more of an effort.
What?
But you're very private people. You know, there's a kind of elitism.
Elitism?
Wrong word, maybe? Delete that. And, you know, the dog barks incessantly.
And you know, he really does not.
And Ryan works at home.
And your phone calls are nasty and abusive, and I've come this close to suing you for harassment, and the only reason you are here is because we're supposed to be sucking up to you.
On screen and stage, Alan Cumming has a very expressive body, which he used to great effect dancing in the Broadway revival of Cabaret. He played the MC, the role originated by Joel Grey. Cumming created a more sexed-up version of the character, and it was a sensation on Broadway. We spoke last year.
Bienvenue, welcome. Fremda, étranger, stranger. Glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté. Happy to see you, bleib, rest, stay. Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. In cabaret, au cabaret, au cabaret. Meine Damen und Herren, Mesdames et Messieurs, Ladies and Gentlemen, guten Abend, bonsoir, good evening, wie geht's, comment ça va, do you feel good?
Yeah, I bet you do.
Ich bin euer Conferencia, je suis votre compère. I am your host und sage willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Im Cabaret, au Cabaret, au Cabaret. Leave your troubles outside. So.
That's Alan Cumming in the cast recording of the revival of Cabaret. Now, this production of Cabaret was directed by Sam Mendes, who also directed the movie American Beauty. Your version of this character, the MC, was much more sexual than the Joel Grey version, which was, he did the original on Broadway, he did the movie. Whose idea was it to make the character that sexual?
It was kind of a combination. When we did it in London, first of all, Sam directed it there. And then when we came to New York, Sam and Rob Marshall directed it together. And all, so it was kind of grew on this journey from London. But really, I remember saying to him, you know, I wasn't really mad about doing the show at all. I didn't think it was really my bag. And if I was going to do it, I wanted to do it sort of properly and kind of like make the character a real person from that time. You know, I was really fascinated by that time. And I had read the Isherwood books and everything, and so I knew that it was much more kind of debauched and decadent, truly decadent, than it actually has ever really been portrayed. And so the character in that kind of club, which is basically, you know, a sort of glorified sex club, I just felt would have more of a kind of a, would have more of the gutter about him. And in a way, he's the club saved him. If it weren't for the fact that he got this job in the club, he would be, you know, on the streets and would, or, you know, would be dead or by now. So, which was much more kind of realistic for that time and for that area of Berlin in that time. So that's why this whole sort of sex thing came about, because I wanted to make it more realistic. And then, of course, when we started to work on it in both London and New York, more so in New York, I think, the sort of sexuality and the kind of mischievousness of the sexuality became part of the whole, his act to the audience. And so, and then it kind of went from there, really.
What did you wear?
Not very much. a variety of very slinky things. I wore the thing that everyone saw and sort of balked at, was kind of like little, if you imagine little trousers that are cut off at the knee, and then kind of big boots. And then that was basically it. And then kind of it was like, you know, suspenders that men wear on their trousers to hold them up. Kind of a selection of those in a kind of round my crotch and up my back and round my chest. But it's kind of weird to describe it. And basically a lot of body makeup with track marks and glittery nipples. And so basically nothing on my body apart from a pair of trousers and a little bit of suspender, which kind of, there was this kind of joke about, like, I had the Wonder Bra for the crotch because of the suspender thing. It kind of, everything was lifted, and because I had to dance, everything was kind of lifted up and forward into a very pleasing, you know, array downstairs, if you see what I mean.
Now, did you get a lot of reaction from men and women?
Yeah, it was pretty across the board. I think it's really fascinating because a lot of people who weren't like your normal sort of fan or your normal kind of person who would get all wobbly kneed did get wobbly kneed because this character was so sort of it kind of got under their skin, and it was so it was like a little boy thing in a way. It was like you knew it was like a little kind of devil, but you knew you'd have a great time, and it kind of stirred people up in some very primal way that they're not used to being stirred up in. And also, I think, you know, I'm not like you know, the conventional view of a sexy man is not me. It's not or what we're sold as and told to be thought of as sexy is not me. So I think there was something about that as well. There was kind of it seems in a way more safe and yet at the same time more dangerous to have some sort of skinny boy who is you know, stirring you in your loins in some way. and so people would, you know, it's really fascinating. I mean, also extremely scary for me, but fascinating that people would say, you know, I've never, like a married man would say, I've never had any sexual feelings for a man before, but I was very stirred up by you, and it made me really think weird things. And then, you know, women who would say things in front of their husbands, and, you know, it was really quite extraordinary.
Well, how do you respond, like, if a man comes up to you and says, I've never felt sexually aroused by a man before, but watching you dance, etc.? What do you say? Thank you very much, and move on to the next fan?
Yeah, you sort of go, oh, that's lovely. Good for you. or, you know, maybe you should get out more. Things like that.
Now, one of the roles that you brought, I mean, of all things, a role that you brought this sexually insinuating energy into was Annie, the TV production of Annie. And there's this a great number, Easy Street. It's a duet you did with Kathy Bates in this
and
production.
And Kristen Chenoweth is in it, too.
Right, okay.
It's a trio.
Yes. Yeah. And you're doing this kind of bump and grind thing to this. And your dancing and singing was terrific in it. So why don't you talk about this number a little bit and then we'll hear it.
Oh, well, this was Rob Marshall, who choreographed Cabaret and who co-directed it with Sam. He directed this. And I'd never seen Annie. I didn't know the story or anything. And so I just did it because of him. I just thought I would have a good time. I just thought he is great. And so The best thing about him is that he makes you feel confident about things that you're not actually very good at, which is a great skill as a director. And Kathy said that the same thing, you know. I don't think she'd done a musical before, and I'd never done a musical like this before, like playing an American person and, you know, and doing all that kind of like proper musical sort of thing. So this was, and also like there's like about a 12-page dance break in it, and none of us, Kristen had danced more than Kathy and I, but it was one of these things that was actually such fun to do, and I'm so glad I took part in it. And it's this song. This song is like when she runs the orphanage, Kathy, and I'm called Rooster, and me and my girlfriend, I've escaped from prison, and we come and we're trying to sort out some scheme to make money, and we realise that Annie could be the key to this scheme.
Let's hear Easy Street.
I remember the way our sainted mother would sit and croon us our lullaby.
She'd say, kids, there's a place that's like no other. You gotta get there before you die.
You don't get there by playing from the rule book.
Uh-uh, you stack the aces.
Mm-hmm, you load the dice.
Mother dear, oh, we know you're down there listening. How can we follow your sweet advice to
Easy Street? Easy Street, where you sleep till noon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She'd rip.
Who was the hot tomato in the-
It's from the TV production of Annie. My guest is Alan Cumming. So I find it interesting that you hadn't really sung and danced before Cabaret and Annie. What did you have to learn in order to pull these roles off?
Well, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I'm not a proper singer. I'm not like a big proper, well, you know, like a how you imagine a Broadway or that type of singer. I'm not that, and I'm never going to be that. I don't want to be that. So I actually didn't really, you know, things like breathing and blah, 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 you have to kind of get better at. And I hadn't actually done much theatre for a while. I'd done a lot of films in between doing Cabaret in London and Cabaret in New York. So I had to get in shape again. But really, it's the same. I just think of it as the same thing. You know, you're just sort of acting, but you're just like singing. The singing, in a way, in Cabaret was easier because my character, part of his job in the role was that he sang songs in a club, so that was fine. In Annie, that was the first time I'd done that thing where you like are talking and then you burst into song, which I've always had a problem with. But it seemed easier because it was more sort of fun, and the style of it, I got into the sort of heightened style of. It's about understanding the style and about understanding your role within the thing. Basically, the same sort of rules that you would hope you would use for any part, whether you'd sing or not. But the dancing was hard. I mean, I hurt myself doing Annie, actually.
What happened?
Well, there's this bit when we danced down the street, and then I did a thing where I jumped up and down, and it was concrete I was jumping up and down in, and it was a big crane shot, so I had to do it a lot of times. And I injured my groin, if you must know. But it's better now.
This is penance for your role in Cabaret.
Yeah, I know. I did all that and didn't get any injuries, really. But, yeah, there's a lot of... It must be the groin karma.
My guest is Alan Cumming. He and Jennifer Jason Leigh wrote, directed, and star in the new film, The Anniversary Party. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Alan Cumming. Now, you studied at the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama. Mm-hmm. What kind of roles were you given as a student? What kind of type were you perceived as?
Well, it's always weird when you're a student because, you know, you have to play, you do plays, grown-up plays that are for people who are like 40 and stuff, and you're like 19, so it's kind of a misconception of you're normally misconceived because you're actually, you know, like decades too young. But I think I was sort of you know, the young juve sort of person, and that's not really happened since I left. I think I was, yeah, I was both kind of young and spunky and nice. I was a nice boy. That was the sort of kind of roles I got. And actually, when I left drama school for a while, I looked very young for my age. And so that was, you know, that affected the parts I got. And when I started to do things out professionally, I would always be playing, like, you know, in TV shows, like the little boy who's running away from the police and stuff like that, and who's being wrongly done to and getting, you know, drowned. I was always being drowned for a while. And then I started to get to play more nasty people. I don't know, something happened to me.
Did something happen to you, or just...
I don't know. I must have. I don't know. But I think. I started. I would. For there was a sort of transition phase where I would get these kind of like baby face nasty people. I remember I did this soap opera in Scotland, and I played like this evil woodcutter for a while, and then so I was like a nice boy ostensibly, but I had, you know, a heart of darkness. And then shortly after that, I started to. I don't know. I suppose it's kind of. I suppose if you're told you're a nice boy, you're like little sweet cutie boy, for so long, you kind of want to bring some other edge to it, so that people. I remember actually thinking, oh, I've not thought about this before, but I remember thinking, oh, I wish I was more interesting. I wish I wasn't just like, you know, looked like such a baby when I first started acting. And so maybe I tried to bring other colours into my work so that I wouldn't have to play boring people all the time.
Huh. Well, you know, I think a more contemporary version of that kind of nice and mean mixture is in the James Bond movie that you did, GoldenEye. Because on the one hand, you're playing like a computer nerd, but you're pretty evil.
Yeah, I know. I get people killed and everything, and I'm involved in this plot to take over the world.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know, you're not like...
But I'm nice.
Physically menacing person.
No, he's like wears little shorts and he's got specs. And specky people are never too scary.
I think one of your first breaks was in a Lee Jeans commercial. Is that right?
I did do a Lee Jeans commercial. I wouldn't consider it one of my first breaks, but it certainly was a financial break. Yeah, it was when I was doing a lot of theatre in London, and I got this bizarrely, I can't remember how it came about, but all of a sudden I was the Lee Jeans boy in America for a while, and did this commercial for them, you know, shot it in London and never saw it, except someone once sent me a tape of it when it was on TV in America. And it was one, I was like the Lee Jeans relaxed fit boy. So I thought it kind of sounds sexy when you're the Lee Jeans boy. When you say you're the relaxed fit boy, it's like saying you're the cardigan wearing Lee Jeans boy, or the comfy cozy one that mum will like. So, but that's who I was. Yeah, I did that. That was funny.
How were you posed in it?
Well, I was like, it was a TV commercial, so I was driving in my car. It's sort of a 50s kind of feel, and there was a girl who was in the house, and she was like struggling to get her tight jeans on, and there was a mannequin on the car, and I come out and I've got flowers for her, and I'm all like doing my hair in the mirror, and I look up to the window and I see her, she bumps into the mannequin trying to put her jeans on, and I think she's like falling on the bed with another boy, and I look at the camera and the little thing of flowers all kind of deflates and flops, and I look sad.
That's funny.
And of course, then there's a shot of my bum with the Lee Jeans relaxed fit on. If only she had been like me and worn the relaxed fit jeans, we'd still be together.
No, you went from Scotland to England and worked on the London stage.
Yes.
Was your Scottish accent considered a problem?
I think it was, you know. I still find it weird. Like today, I was just talking. The Royal Scottish Academy where I went has this mentoring program, and I was just talking to the little student who I am mentoring today, and he's from Glasgow, and we were talking about accents and stuff, and he said, "Oh, you haven't lost your accent," and I went, "Well, I would hope not, because you know I think you lose your accent, you lose your personality. It's really important for me that I sound the sum of my life, do you know what I mean?"
Mm-hmm.
But it's less, and now obviously, now that I get to do films in American accents or English accents or funny Irish ones, it's not a problem, but that's because I'm more well known and people let you. But when I first started, yeah, it was definitely a thing. People would ask me to go to auditions and pretend not to be Scottish, because they said, you know, you can do it, and I would go, yes, I know I can do it, but I won't be me in the meeting, and surely. I mean, I've always thought the most important thing about any actor is the person, And the more you can let of the person through, the more successful you are about, and the more interesting you'll be to people. That is more interesting than technique.
Alan Cumming recorded last year. He and Jennifer Jason Leigh wrote, directed, and star in the new film, The Anniversary Party. This is Fresh Air.